pleases his devotees. Text number 15 and 16, and we'll continue on to 17 and 18. Padava. Padavena janirapo.
Padavena janirapo.
Dharayam shirasa nripa.
Dharayam shirasa nripa.
Aranemam varai divyaye.
Aranemam varai divyaye.
Gandashagbushano tamaye.
Gandashagbushano tamaye.
Architva shirasanamya.
Architva shirasanamya.
Paravanka gato mrijan.
Paravanka gato mrijan.
Prashraya vanannato krura.
Prashraya vanannato krura.
Krishna Rama abhashata.
Krishna Rama abhashata.
Padavena janirapo.
Padavena janirapo.
Dharayam shirasa nripa.
Dharayam shirasa nripa.
Arane nambarai divyaye.
Arane nambarai divyaye.
Gandashra bhushanotamaye.
Gandashra bhushanotamaye.
Architva shirasanamya.
Architva shirasanamya.
Paravanka gato nijam.
Paravanka gato nijam.
Prashraya vanato krura.
Prashraya vanato krura.
Krishna Ramo abhashata.
Krishna Ramo abhashata.
Na avanejani. Used for bathing. All over. Apaha. The water. Dharayan. Putting. Shirasa. On his head. Nripa. O King Parikshit. Aranena. With gifts. Ambarai, clothing. Divyai, celestial. Ganda, fragrant sandalwood paste. Struck, flower garlands. Bhushana, and ornaments. Uttamai, excellent. Architva, worshipping. Shirasa, with his head. Anamya, bowing down. Pado, Lord Krishna's feet. Anka, on his lap. Gato, placed. Mrijan, massaging. Prashraya, with humility. Avanataha,
his head lowered.
Akrura,
Akrura.
Krishna Ramau, to Krishna and
Balaram.
Ahabhashata, spoke. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. O King, Akura bathed the feet of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram and then poured the bath water on his head. He presented them with gifts of fine clothing, aromatic sandalwood paste, flower garlands, and excellent jewelry. After thus worshipping the two lords, he bowed his head to the floor. He then began to massage Lord Krishna's feet, placing them on his lap. And with his head bowed in humility, he addressed Krishna and Balaram as follows. Please repeat. O King,
Okay.
Akrura bathed the feet of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. And then poured the bath water on his head. He presented them with gifts of fine clothing, aromatic sandalwood paste, flower garlands, and excellent jewelry. After thus worshipping the two lords, he bowed his head to the floor. He then began to massage Lord Krishna's feet, placing them on his lap. And with his head bowed in humility, he addressed Krishna and Balaram as follows. Read text number 17 and 18. Dishtya papo hata kamsa sanugo vamidam kulam bhavadbhyam udritam krichrad duranta cha sameditam. Akrura said, "It is our good fortune that you two lords have killed the evil Kamsa and his followers, thus delivering your dynasty from endless suffering and causing it to flourish." Text 18. Yuvam pradana purusho jagadhetu jaganmayo bhavadbhyam na vinakinchet paramasti na chaparam. You both are the original supreme person, the cause of the universe and its very substance. Not the slightest subtle cause or manifest product of creation exists apart from you. Purport. After praising Krishna and Balaram for having saved their dynasty, Akrura now points out that the Lord actually has no mundane connection with any social or political institution. He is the original personality of Godhead, performing his pastime for the benefit of the entire universe. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Dasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamhayam Dadati Swapradantrikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutah Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamitam Cha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpata rubhyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. My great fortune that I can talk about the wonderful activities of Lord Krishna to such a wonderful audience like all present in this temple. Well, as an infinitesimal, minute spirit soul, part of the Supreme Soul, We have two choices. We have two options. Our option can be that we can have complete faith on the Supreme Lord and surrender to Him. Or other option can be that we can have complete faith and conviction to Krishna's external energy called Maya. These are the only two options every living being has. Only two options. So-called independence is not the actual term of independence. It cannot be defined as complete independence that is exhibited by Krishna. Rather, independence can be defined as that we have two options. Either we have the option to surrender to Krishna, or we have the option to surrender to Krishna's external energy, Maya. This is the only two options. When we surrender to Krishna, we have faith in serving Krishna. But when we surrender to Krishna's external energy, we have complete faith and conviction to serving Maya, the material energy as such. Obviously, there is a difference. There's a difference between surrendering to Krishna and surrendering to Krishna's external energy. The difference is that when we surrender to Maya, then Maya presents us with false promises of this world. But if we surrender to Krishna, then there is no false promise. Everything comes perfectly, surely, absolutely correct. It's in Vedabase. My computer is underneath the where we iron the clothes, and inside the cloth, underneath the cloth. Sorry. But anyway, if we surrender to Krishna, then we serve Krishna. But if we surrender to Krishna's energy, Maya, then, as I said, we have to rely on Maya's dependence. Maya, or the material energy, or the external energy of Krishna, gives us false promises. I would like the audience to give their ideas of what is false promises they may see in the city, or anywhere in your life, or in your experience. Like I asked Uddhava yesterday, what is one of the false promises Maya gives? And then Uddhava told me, this is an example. You can think about it and you can share it out in the class to be a little bit interactive. Uddhava told me that one of the false promises is they advertise a car. Along the car is a beautiful object, a woman. And when you go to purchase the car, you don't get the woman, you rather only get the car. Along with the car, you get a big bill. So this is one of the false promises. Can anyone also say one of the false promises you may see around in this world? One, Glenn?
Elections.
Pardon me?
During elections, they promise so many things they will do.
Yes, true.
So nothing will happen. Yeah. False promise.
Recently, we know, at least 5-6 years ago, there was an opposition party in India, opposition to Congress, BJP. They wanted to get in, and they won the election based on that they will build a temple of Lord Ram in Ayodhya. But within that span of 5 years, they did nothing. Maybe some inauguration to get some funds, that's about it. This is one of the allurements of, you can say, Maya in the form of politicians to the subjects, so then they can get position. Yes?
You see the advertisements for alcoholic drinks, all young, healthy people who are happy and energetic and strong. When you go to the bar, just old men who are dried up and miserable.
Yeah, very true. Nice. Well, you had one, isn't it? Theo Brew, can you tell that? That was a good one. Yeah, go ahead. Very nice.
Can you repeat?
Pardon?
I could not understand that.
What sense?
Can you explain what you have said? Yes.
You should speak in the mind and
do that. Theo Prabhu, can you explain it louder? What do you mention? So this is the promises of the material energy. We know how in the past time when Krishna appeared, then Vasudev went and delivered Krishna in Rajbhumishi Vrindavan, and he brought Durga Devi, or the sister of Krishna, to Mathura in the prison hall. He brought Yogamaya in the prison hall, and he chained himself back again. And immediately after doing that, then Yogamaya or Durga Devi started crying. When Durga Devi started crying, then all the sleepy guards, in India we call them chokidars, or the guards, they immediately woke up. They ran to the palace of King Kamsa and said to Kamsa, "Kamsa, your enemy has been taken birth. The baby is crying." So Kamsa, he was meditating on that very baby when he heard that the baby of Vasudev and Devaki took birth. He came rushing to the prison hall. As he came rushing to the prison hall, he took hold of the baby, Durga or Yogamaya, and he wanted to throw Durga on the slab of stone. But Durga Devi, she was much more powerful than Kamsa. She slipped away from Kamsa's hand and she manifested her eight-armed form. When she manifested her eight-armed form, then Kamsa was shocked. Wondering what's going on. And then Durga Devi said to Kamsa, "You fool, don't be cruel to your sister." And Durga Devi said, "The eighth child that was prophesied that child will kill you actually took birth somewhere else in the earth." So Durga Devi told a lie to Kamsa straight on his face. Straight on Kamsa's face, that the eighth child of Krishna has taken birth somewhere else, not in the prison. Straight on Kamsa's face. So this is the enchanting power of Krishna's external energy called Durga or Durga. And when Kamsa heard this, he was out of shock and reverence because he had so much devotion to Durga. And he was like, he was shocked. He was thinking, "I thought the eighth child was going to be a male child. But it seems that it's female child. The prophecy surely must be wrong." And Kamsa was thinking, "Oh, I treated my sister in a very evil, in a very, very atrocious way. How could I mistake her? How could I think that she was a normal woman of this world? She cannot be a normal woman of this world because she had Durga Devi as her own child." So then Kamsa started showing great respect based on Durga Devi's birth, that Durga Devi took birth on from Devaki as such. But even though Kamsa knew that Krishna was going to take birth to Devaki, then he didn't show any respect. But when he thought that Devaki gave birth to Durga Devi, then all respects came to him. Because the mentality of Kamsa was that he took shelter of Durga Devi. That his devotion was for Durga Devi and Lord Shiva. And what is the result? The automatic result is there is false promises, there are straight lies in the face. This is what happens when we take shelter of Krishna's external energy. Then there's straight lie on the face. But when we take shelter of Krishna, it's a different atmosphere. It's a different realm. When Akrura plead to Krishna in Mathura, he asked Krishna, "Oh Krishna, please come to my residence." Krishna said, "Not now. I have my mission to be performed. I have to kill the demons. I will come and see you later." And then later on, we know how Krishna easily got satisfied by the wonderful scent offered by goddess Trivakra Devi. She offered beautiful ointments to Krishna. Then Trivakra grabbed on Krishna's upper garments to satisfy her desire. Krishna said, "Don't worry. You don't have to worry about it now." One of the reasons why Krishna said, "Don't worry," is because Krishna says, "Don't do it now, I'll come later," is because his brother was there. So he was feeling a bit ashamed. He was feeling very shy. He was feeling bashful. "Oh, this girl is after me in front of my older brother." And also all the coward boys were there. When the coward boys knew that Krishna said, "I will see you later," the coward boys thought, "Oh, Krishna, he tells lies. We heard him tell lies in Vrindavan." But he will say that, "I will come and meet you later," but obviously Krishna will not meet. Obviously Krishna did it in such a way that it suited the environment as such. At the same time, it pleased Kubja or Trivakra Devi. And we see in this particular chapter how the title of this chapter is Krishna Pleases His Devotees. So on the very promise Krishna gave to Akrura and Trivakra earlier, he is now fulfilling that promise he has given to his devotees. This is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Oh Arjuna, you declare boldly that my devotees will never perish. In other words, any promise he gives to his devotees, Krishna will surely make sure that he will abide by it. But if he makes his own promise, then Krishna, he might break it. But if any promise Krishna gives to his devotees, he makes sure that it is fulfilled. He makes sure that it is factual, that it comes absolutely correct. So much opposite to that of material energy or the external Bahiranga Shakti or Durga Devi. So here we know how Krishna, he satisfied Kubja. How did he satisfy Kubja? Kubja had some sort of lusty desire, but he cured that lusty desires by placing those lotus feet on the hands of Kubja. When Kubja got in contact with Krishna's lotus feet, immediately that lusty desires, so-called lusty desires, was dissipated. And as according to the Siddhanta, according to the Acharyas, she was considered a liberated soul. And with that very same lotus feet, in this particular verse, we see how Akrura is bathing Krishna's lotus feet. Very same lotus feet. That very same lotus feet which cured the lust of Kubja, Akrura is pouring water. And he's relishing that water. How does he relish that water? By sprinkling it all over his head. The water of Krishna, which washes Krishna's feet or Krishna's body, can be drunk, like how we drink Charnamrita, or could also be smeared all over the head, because by smearing all over the head, we're actually accepting that Krishna is our master and we are his servant. Or in other words, we're accepting that we are trying to be a humble servant of Krishna. Generally, feet is considered very, very untouchable. It's considered low class. When we touch someone's feet, we generally wash our hands. We should wash our hands. But Krishna's feet is transcendental. It's totally different to the view of the impersonalist. The impersonalist think that Krishna has no feet. But devotees know Krishna has feet. And that feet is not the feet of what we have or in other words, material faith. Krishna's faith is actually spiritual faith. And Akrura, out of humility, he's taking that water which has washed Krishna's feet and he sprinkles all over his head. This is a sign of humility. And one of the other items Akrura did is, actually, if we look in previous verses, how Akrura greets Krishna is very exemplary. This exemplary conduct was performed during the Vedic ages or in traditional Vedic India or Vedic times. When a guest comes to one's house, one should treat him as Atito Deva Bhava, isn't it? Atito Deva Bhava? Pardon? Atito Deva Bhava. Atito Deva Bhava. You should treat the guest as good as Narayan or as good as Krishna. Even if you're not rich, even if you're not opulent, you don't have the facility to receive your guest, you can still receive him. How do you receive him? If you're very poor, you bring the guest inside, and first thing is you give him a seat, a simple seat. If you don't have a rocking chair or whatever, you can give him a straw mat he can sit on. And the next thing is you get a glass of water and you give a glass of water to the guest. These are basic conducts, how we treat guests. Vedic culture is very rich because it's rich in its heritage, it is rich in wonderful qualities, you can say. It is explained if one doesn't treat one's guest properly, one goes to a hellish planet, I think so, it's called Rourava. This hellish planet is where the person is on the cliff. And that cliff, the eagle comes, swoops right in front of his face and plucks the eyes of the person who mistreated his guest. Continuously, again and again. This is the punishment. So just basic etiquette is that we treat our guests properly. And this is how Uddhava is exemplifying. And generally, when we worship the Lord, we worship the Lord in 16 upacharas. The 16 upacharas means 16 items of which we offer to the Lord. First thing is, we invite Him, as mentioned here. When Krishna came to Akrura's house, what did Akrura do? Akrura immediately stood up with great joy. He stood up in great joy. And he invited the Lord. On the other hand, we know when Romaharshana Sutta, when he was giving Bhagavad class, he was teaching that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that we should serve him, we should respect him. And when the very same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as Balaram entered in the arena, Romaharshana didn't set that good example. He didn't stand up. As a result, he died from a kusha grass which touched his body. That is the offense. But we see Akrura, he immediately stood up. He stood up with great joy. Oh, my Krishna and Balaram has come. He has fulfilled his promise to his devotees. And then what did he do? He immediately came and embraced Krishna and Balaram. Akrura was Krishna's uncle. At the same time, he understood Krishna and Balaram were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he had a relationship of friendship and awe and reverence, the Mathura Bhav. Mathura Bhav is that there is mixture of friendship, intimacy and awe and reverence. So what did Akrura do? He immediately embraced Krishna and Balaram. And he gave Krishna and Balaram and Uddhava, the guest of Krishna and Balaram, Uddhava, a seat also. Generally, when a acharya or a guru or a highly recognized personality comes, you don't only serve the recognized personality, you also serve the servant of that recognized personality. If you serve the master, not the master's servant, the master will not be satisfied. So the etiquette is, when we receive a guru or a spiritual master or Krishna, we also immediately offer the same respect to the spiritual master's disciple or spiritual master's servant. As good as you show that much respect, you show to your spiritual master, to spiritual master's disciple, who is a visitor or servant and so forth. This is an etiquette. So this is what Akura did. When Krishna and Balaram came, he brought Uddhava along with him. And so Akura treated Krishna and Balaram, and he treated Uddhava as equal as he treated to Krishna and Balaram. And then in this verse, we know, first thing is, because a person, when he travels from a far distance, what do? You wash his feet. This is in the story of when Krishna himself exemplifies it. How does Krishna himself exemplifies it? When Krishna's friend Sudama came after many, many years. He came to Dwarka. When he came to Dwarka, in the very, very special chamber of Krishna, most important chamber, the chamber where Krishna resides with Rukmini, that's where Sudama came. When Krishna saw him from distance, he came running, embraced his friend. He brought him in and he placed him in the best kind of sitting place, his very throne, his very bed where he would sleep. And he placed Sudama there. Assisted by Rukmini Devi, he washed Sudama's feet. Because Sudama, walking from far distance, can have thorns inside the feet. Because generally, in the olden days, the traditional times, they wouldn't wear shoes. Only opulent rich personalities, the kings, the maharajas, they would wear shoes. But when Krishna saw Sudama, he immediately washed Sudama's feet. First of all, he's a Brahmana. So Krishna is exemplifying, when you see a Vaishnava, when you see a Brahmana, you should wash his feet. Especially when he's coming from a far distance. In fact, this is what Akura did. And one of the other items is that he offered Krishna wonderful garments. It is explained, when we dress the Lord, then there must be a peacock feather on Krishna's head. There must be a flute on Krishna's hand. There must be ankle bells on Krishna's legs. This is a necessity. This is very important. And we should worship Krishna in his Kishore form. We should dress the Lord in his Kishore form, in his youthful form. And as Prabhupada mentioned, we should worship Radha and Krishna as we worship Lakshmi Narayan. That is how we should worship Radha and Krishna. And when we serve Jagannath, we should serve Jagannath such a way, so beautifully, Prabhupada said. We should dress him so beautifully that by seeing his beautiful form, that Maya cannot creep in your mind. Or in other words, it defeats the beauty of Maya. This is how beautifully we should dress Jagannath. And in fact, Krishna, how is he decorated? He's decorated with Vajayanti Mala. Vajayanti Mala is a garland which is made out of 5 different forest flowers. He has the garland touching his feet. That's how long the garland should be, touching his feet. And he has flower all over his head, on his turban. This is how you should dress Krishna, as Prabhupada explains. Similarly, Jagannath should be worshipped. And Prabhupada said, Krishna, he didn't only wear his Vajayanti Mala, his garland, forest garland in Vrindavan, and he didn't only wear flowers on his turban in Vrindavan. He also wore this very same Vajayanti Mala and the flower garlands on his turban when he was fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra. Prabhupada explains. So this is how we dress Krishna. So Akura, he dressed Krishna in that way. And in fact, he offered a wonderful item, sandalwood. It is explained one of the item, one of the most important item you worship, you offer to the Shalagram is sandalwood. If you don't offer sandalwood, then the worship is incomplete. In summertime, we try to cover the body of the Lord as much as possible. We put the sandalwood on the chest, on the head, to cool him down. And along, once you put the sandalwood, you fan the Lord so it cools him more. In wintertime, we don't put on his head because it's cold. You just, what you do is you get tulsi leaf and you take the sandalwood pulp and put on his lotus feet. That's how you offer to the Lord. In fact, sandalwood is very, very dear to Krishna. Madhavendra Puri, when he was requested by his very dear deity, Gopal Ji. Gopal was on the hill of Govardhan. And Gopal Ji said, I am experiencing extreme heat in Vrindavan. Please do something. Madhavendra Puri was wondering, how can I serve you, Lord? Please instruct me. So Madhavendra Puri was instructed by the Lord to go to Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri to get sandalwood. So he went all the way from Vrindavan, walking month after month, to just get his sandalwood so he can smear the sandalwood on the form of the Lord. When Madhavendra Puri arrived in Remuna, there was a beautiful pastime that took place. And in order that Gopinath stole kheer or sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri, he didn't want to be distinguished amongst the people. So what did he do? In order to avoid fame, in order to avoid distinction, he left Remuna. He immediately left Remuna after he got the sweet rice. He left. He went to Jagannath Puri. And because his devotee is so great, Krishna immediately spreads his glories. By the time he arrived in Jagannath Puri, everyone knew the glories of Madhavendra Puri. Even the king himself. And when Madhavendra Puri requested, I wanted some sandalwood, king said, oh, sure. And king gave him so much sandalwood, and he gave Madhavendra Puri two assistants to carry that sandalwood and camphor to Vrindavan. On the way, Madhavendra Puri desired to visit Gopinath again. And that in the dream, Gopal Ji said, I am not different from Gopinath. So Madhavendra Puri was requested by Gopal Ji to smear the sandalwood on Gopinath. By smearing sandalwood on Gopinath is as good as smearing sandalwood on me in Vrindavan. So this is how Akrura offered Krishna. He offered the sandalwood to Krishna. He offered Krishna wonderful jewelry. And the last item of 16 upacharas is bowing down, paying obeisances. It's interesting. There are two ways of bowing down. Can anyone say one of the way of bowing down? Ashtanga pranam and Panchanga pranam. Panchanga pranam and Ashtanga pranam. Ashtanga pranam, can anyone tell me what are the eight ways we offer to Krishna? And eight parts of the body we offer to Krishna when we pay obeisances? Pardon me?
Two elbows.
Two elbows? Anyone else?
Two knees.
Pardon me?
Two knees.
Two elbows, two knees. And? Hand? And?
Forehead.
Forehead, yes?
Chest?
And legs. Actually, it's legs, foot, knees, ankle, no, what do you call?
Elbows,
hand, head. No, actually, four. His hand, it's not elbow, his hand, chest, head. No, actually it is words. You offer your words. You offer your mind. to Krishna when you pay dandavat. So the five part of the body is from the body. When you pay obeisances, when you do dandavat, is five part of your body, and you offer beautiful words to Krishna. You offer pranam. You start with your guru pranam, and then you do Prabhupada pranam. Then you offer according to the deities, like Panchadatva mantra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Radha Krishna mantra, and then Jagannath accordingly. This is how you offer your words. And when how you offer your mind to Krishna when you pay obeisances is you're meditating that you're touching Krishna's lotus feet. Generally speaking, when we offer our obeisances, it should be our head touching the feet. But in many of the temples, we have Garuda standing on the other side, and we don't put the feet on Garuda. Here we have Prabhupada, so we don't put our feet on Prabhupada. That's why we pay obeisances on the left side, generally speaking. And Panchanga is the legs or and the hands, the basic part. You don't put your chest. Men can do either of them. Women generally do only Panchanga, because it is the rule that the breast should not touch the earth, according to Pancharatrika Pradeep. So this is what Uddhava, and this is what Akrura did. He paid his obeisances. He did his dandavat pranam. Dandavat means you fall like a rod. That's what it means. Just as when Krishna was joking with Rukmini Devi, Krishna was saying to Rukmini Devi, "Why did you get married with me? You could have got married to many, many heroic personalities. In fact, you could have got married to Shishupal." When Rukmini heard this, she couldn't tolerate it. "How could I stand this?" And Rukmini couldn't take Krishna's words as a joke. So what happened? She immediately fell down. The way she fell down is, as explained by Prabhupada, is as if a banana tree got chopped off. In other words, that's how dandavat is generally performed. You fall down straight on the face, according to Pancharatrika Pradeep. But we have to be practical. So anyway, this is how we worship Krishna. We fully understand that Krishna is a person. How do we understand Krishna is a person? By fully serving Him in different ways. By us serving Krishna, He sees our service, even a little service, in a magnifying glass. Little service, even if it is so small, He sees it 100 times greater. In fact, you put one step towards Krishna, Krishna puts hundreds of steps towards you. Krishna, He is more desirous to meet us than we are desiring to meet Him. And that is why Krishna comes again and again in this world. One of the purpose may be that He will be killing demons and so forth, no doubt about it. But He also performs His pastimes, as mentioned in the purport, performs His pastime for the benefit of the entire universe. By hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna, that's where we make spiritual progress. That's where we get spiritual realization. That's where we understand who Krishna is. Because the devotees relish Krishna's pastime, and they spread Krishna's pastime to everyone. They explain about the transcendental characteristics of Krishna to everyone. As mentioned, whatever devotion may be, there has to be 101%, 100% result. 100%. Krishna mentions, "Svalpam apyasa dharmasya trayate mahatobayat." Whatever advancement, it is fully protected. Krishna says that. This is what happens when we serve Krishna. This is what happens when we surrender to Krishna. When we surrender to Krishna, then there is 100% perfection of Krishna's fulfilling His promises. There's perfection that is going to be absolutely correct. But Mr. Maya, on the other hand, is not. And Maya gives us false promises. Maya tells us lies. Maya lures us in such a way, but makes the individual so frustrated. But when we serve Krishna, it's totally opposite to what Maya does. It is fulfilling, it is overwhelming and spiritually blissful. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Manager? Yeah.
I think it's
very nice question. It's considered feet is the most lowly part of the body, because feet can touch so many obnoxious things, can touch the product which is let out by the animals, or could kill insects and so forth. So generally speaking, feet is considered very lowly. It's considered, even if you touch the feet, you have to go wash your hands. That is, even your own feet, you have to go wash your hands before doing any auspicious activities, like doing deity worship or chanting your beads or eating prasadam. You must wash your hands. The feet is considered very, very muchi. So when we touch our feet on a devotee or on a paraphernalia, it is actually offensive. Because the devotee's meditation is that Krishna resides in the heart of the devotee. Krishna resides in not only the heart of the devotee, Krishna resides in the heart of every living being. In other words, every living being, their body constitutes a temple for Krishna. It's an interesting way of seeing. It constitutes a temple of Krishna. And by kicking the body of Krishna, we're actually making an offense. So what we do is we actually try to rectify that offense by paying obeisances, by recognizing that its importance. And so what we do is we also, out of humility, we touch that devotee's feet and then put on our head, because we might have done the offense. So we touch the feet of that devotee, asking him for forgiveness. That is the whole purpose. And we put on your head out of humility, saying, "I'm your servant." That is the purpose of why we touch the body of the devotee and pour on our hand. Explains it?
Yes. Also, you touch their head to nullify their offense. So
that is nullifying, but also on top of it, it's showing humility. "I'm your servant. I've done a great offense." Like when we do deity worship, generally when we do deity worship, we might make some offenses. We might make offenses here and there. And we chant a specific mantra. That mantra actually nullifies the offenses we might do in deity worship. Or we might even chant Hare Krishna to nullify the offenses we might do in deity worship. But more important is that the purpose of the mantra or the purpose of the chanting of Hare Krishna is actually I'm trying to serve Krishna earnestly and in a humble attitude. That's the whole purpose. More than nullifying. And we make sure that we don't repeat that offense again and again. Sometimes we might do it accidentally, so we pay obeisances by chanting mantra kalpata or touching the devotee's feet accordingly. If you accidentally hit a devotee's feet, male devotee's feet, what you do is you do vancha kalpata, then rather touching the body of the devotee, male. Generally, madhijis touch only their husband, or the husband touch. If they have to touch madhijis, they touch only their wives. That is the standard. That's how you can pay. You can show yourself. You know, that's how you can. As Prabhuji said, counteract the offense you might have made. Thank you very much. Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.